But now I want to just pray, and I want to share some things with you, and I'll open it up as we pray here. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for just the fact that you're a God who does not lie, that we can stand on your word, that we can trust in you no matter what, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situations are that we are confronted with, Father God. Our lives are in your hands if we'll place our lives in your hands. And so, Father God, I pray that every heart will be like good ground, ready to receive the good seed of your word today, and that nothing is going to hinder the going forth or the receiving of your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And if you agree, you can say amen. Amen. You know, as all of you are aware, I don't think anybody could not be aware, there was a tragedy this past week. Charlie Kirk was assassinated, and Charlie Kirk was a man of God. He loved Jesus with all of his heart, and I do consider him a present-day martyr. But he was primarily a lover of Jesus. And I don't care, you know, what any viewpoint is, you know, murdering somebody is always wrong. Is everybody here all right? But, you know, I know that there's a lot of hurt in people's hearts. You know, I'll tell you, I got to be honest with you. I wanted to cry. I didn't even know the man. Can you imagine people that knew him and how that affected them? And young people have been so affected by it as well. And so I just want to share with you some things. Maybe it'll help answer a little bit of the whys. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did this take place? Well, we're going to talk about that. The title I wanted to give you, this is a word that came to me, all right? This is a word that came to me, and I felt, well, that's a good word for this message. And that word is this word, resolute. Everybody say resolute. And so if you would open your Bibles, if you have a Bible or a Bible app, I want you to look at this scripture. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read from that. For those of you that don't have a Bible, I will have it up on the screen because I wanted to make sure everybody could see it. But again, as I usually say, I encourage you to look in your own Bible. I encourage you to, you know, underline in your Bible, highlight in your Bible, write notes on the sides. I mean, study your Bible, amen? Because you need to take the words of scripture and get them from the page. Pages into your heart, don't you? Amen. I know the psalmist said in Psalm 119, he said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. There's such a power in the word of God to help you to live this life for Christ. And so in Ephesians chapter 6, begin with verse 10. Are you there? Say yes. All right. It reads this way, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, he said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Aren't you glad for his strength and his might? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, verse 12 says this, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. Now we go on, stand therefore. This is verse 14. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, Paul says, and for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I might speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, you'll note here that in verse 12, the Apostle Paul, again, inspired by the Spirit of God, he says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or we wrestle not against human beings, but we wrestle instead against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. And I say that all to you because I want you to realize one of the simple reasons why Charlie Kirk and others suffer martyrdom or whatever the case may be, is because I want you to know that there is a war going on. There is a war going on. And I'm not talking about a natural war. I'm not talking about, that kind of thing. I'm not even specifically or first and foremost talking about a cultural war, even though that's a symptom of a deeper war. That deeper war is a spiritual war. There is a spiritual war that is going on between two kingdoms. There are two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of God, and there is the kingdom of our adversary, the devil. Isn't that right? And there are clashes, there is war going on. But thanks be unto God who always gives us the victory through Christ. Amen? But yet in the midst of all of this, there's going to be casualties at times. There's going to be those kinds of things. But I want you to know that ultimately we do win. In fact, there's that saying, I read the back of the book and we do win. Amen? Amen. And so go with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. How many of you think that we need to be able to understand and do our best to teach the whole counsel of God? And so this is an area that maybe we don't teach enough about, so that we might, again, have the whole counsel of God. And John chapter 15, and I want to start with verse 18. It will be on the board. Most of the scriptures are going to be up here, but not all of them necessarily. And the reason why is not so that you don't look in your Bibles, but so that everybody will see this scripture. Notice what it says. This is Jesus. Jesus is speaking. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you, Jesus is saying. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, quote, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. And so he gives the contrast. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. But on the other hand, those that keep my word, they'll keep the word that you share as well if it's in line with his word. And so notice what it says, the world is going to hate you. Now, who is the world? The world is speaking of those who are not in the kingdom of God. As I said, there is the kingdom of Satan and there's the kingdom of God. Now, they are not equal kingdoms in terms of power. It's not like Satan is the opposite of God because there is no, God has no opposite, you understand. If Satan is the opposite of any being on God's side, it would be he's the opposite of Gabriel, an angel, or Michael, the archangel. But he certainly doesn't measure up to being the opposite of God. You hear me here? God is the uncreated cause of all things, and yet Satan was created, not the way he is now, but he was created perfect in every way. But yet one day, it probably was not one day, it was a period of time, he got puffed up with pride and therefore fell and decided that he himself wanted to be God. How many of you know that that's not a real smart idea? Does everybody follow me here today? And so when I say there's two kingdoms, I'm not talking about two equal kingdoms at all. I'm talking about there is Satan's kingdom, but yet God's kingdom far exceeds and far is more powerful than Satan's kingdom any day. Amen? And the Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says, you believers, those of us that are believers, you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness, which is another word for the kingdom of Satan. You have been delivered from the powers or the kingdom of darkness, and you've been translated or transferred into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so now we're in a new kingdom, aren't we? Amen. And so we're in the kingdom of God, and because we're in the kingdom of God, Satan and his cohorts hate us, but that's okay because we're on the right side. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you a few other scriptures here. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 10. Again, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, it says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life. Now, he's writing a letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul is. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love. So far, those sound so good. You know, the manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, maybe not so good. Love. Then he goes into other things. Persecutions. Or first, perseverance. Persecutions. Afflictions. Man, he was doing well for a while, but then he had to mention those other things, right? Which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live, notice now, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so again, if we're living godly in Christ Jesus, we are going to suffer persecution. Now, again, you know, again, I'm talking about the whole counsel of God. There's one side, we believe in God's goodness. We believe that God loves us and cares about us, wants to provide for us, wants to heal our bodies. We believe all those good things. But yet, on the other hand, the Bible does say that if we live godly in Christ Jesus, there will be persecution, you understand? Amen? Well, I can tell, I know this is not going to be your favorite message of the year. But nevertheless, again, we want to be, again, doing our utmost to speak the truth, the whole counsel of God. Amen? And so he says that those that live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution. But he said, notice, he said the Lord delivered him out of them all. And so, you know, we always ought to be shooting for deliverance out of them all. Amen? Amen. Is everybody here? Yeah. Hallelujah. And so again, this idea is there will be persecution. People say, why? Why did Charlie Kirk get assassinated? I don't believe it was the will of God. I don't believe that his race was finished. I believe Satan was afraid of what he was doing. Satan was afraid of what he was doing. And for whatever reason, you know, you can think, well, why did it happen? Why did God allow it? First of all, God allows a lot of things that are not his will. He allows people to go to hell, but it's not his will that any should perish, the Bible says, but that all should come to repentance. Isn't that what the Bible says? Amen? All right, and so, you know, he allows things that it is not his will. One of the things is that he has given men free will. And you know, I know many of you have heard me say this before, but it needs to be said in the context of this situation. That not every will being carried out on planet Earth is the will of God. Because every individual, first of all, human beings have a will, free will. You have a free will. And I guarantee you, you've not always used your free will to be in line with God's will, have you? You've used your free will against the will of God, haven't you? You might as well admit it because it's true anyway. Amen? And then we have Satan. And Satan's will is totally in opposition to the will of God. And again, God's will is not the only will being carried out on planet Earth. Now, our desire as believers should be to carry out God's will and to do whatever He would want us and to do our utmost to live for Him, etc. But yet, He's given us free will and He's taken that risk, if you will, to give humanity free will because He wants people to willfully love Him. He doesn't want automations or robots that are just programmed to love Him. He wants people to be willfully loving Him. And in that risk, if you will, that he takes, he knows there'll be those who will willfully not love him, but will hate him instead. Does this make sense? Now, you might also wonder, and this is things, I'm not saying this is the case, but you know, I think sometimes in our lives, you know, God is warning us on the inside of things. And for whatever reason, we're not accepting it as God's guidance. You know, we get this idea, maybe I shouldn't go that direction, but we shrug it off and say, well, I'm going to go that way. That's my shortcut. I'm going my shortcut. And hypothetically, maybe get in a car accident, but yet on the inside, you are being told, not audibly, but and not even in words necessarily, but it's just an inkling, something in your conscience saying, I don't feel right about going that direction. Is everybody following what I'm saying to you? And that, I believe, is the Spirit of God trying to keep us safe. Now, I don't know if this is the case, but what if the possibility exists, and it is a possibility, but what if this did happen? What if Charlie Kirk had this on the inside, you know, a sense, you know, I shouldn't do this, or I should have more security around me, or somebody ought to check that rooftop. What if there was something on the inside? Are you following what I'm saying to you? And he didn't follow that leading and guidance. I don't know if that's true, but I'm just saying we don't see the whole picture. Is everybody hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. And so again, we wonder why, but yet again, we don't see the whole picture. Someday, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that right now we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, which is the Lord Jesus is coming again, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part will be done away. When we see him face to face, many things we have questions about, we're going to have the answer and we'll think, of course that's it. Of course, now I see it because now we see the whole picture. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. And so it's so important that we understand these things. Now notice 1 John 5:19. I pray you're getting something out of this today. And you know, if nothing else, let's just be determined. Let's be resolute that we're going to be close. We're going to live close to God. Notice what 1 John 5:19 says. John, by the Holy Spirit, says, we know that we are of God. And the whole world, that's again the unbelievers, lies under the sway of the wicked one. They are swayed by the wicked one. I guarantee you that young man who shot that bullet, he was being swayed by Satan himself. Amen? And you know, I know there's people, you know, people that are sick in mind celebrating this assassination. I'm telling you, they're sick in mind. But not only are they sick in mind, they're also being swayed by the wicked one. Anybody that thinks that's okay? In John 8, if you would turn there as well, this is lengthy. Are you receiving anything from this today? It's not the message I wanted to preach. But I think it's necessary. I think it's necessary. And I don't have all the answers. I gave up trying to have all the answers years ago. When I first got out of Bible school and started ministering, I thought, I got to have all the answers. I gave that up, man. God's the one with all the answers. Amen? But there are some things that we've learned over the years. Praise God for that. Now, if you would turn to John chapter 8, and I'm going to begin with verse 37. We're going to point out a few things with this. Notice now, beginning with verse 37. It reads this way, and I know it's kind of small on the screen, but hopefully you can follow it all right. But just get in your Bible, you'll be able to follow it. It says this, and again, this is Jesus. He's conversing with the Pharisees, okay, the religious leaders. And he says here, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Now, I'll pause there. I've got more to read here in just a few moments here. But notice what it's saying here. He's saying that your father, or that you are walking according to your quote-unquote father, right? And because of that, you want to kill me. Why did they want to kill him, according to what Jesus said? Because he told them the truth. How many of you realize that people that don't want the truth hate those that speak the truth? People that don't want to live by the truth want to kill, many times, those that do minister or share the truth. Now, granted, we're to speak the truth in love. We're to speak the truth lovingly. But nevertheless, we never can compromise truth. Never compromise truth. And I would submit to you that the reason why Charlie Kirk was killed is because he was speaking truth that people didn't want to hear. Now, I didn't hear a lot of things that he said, but when I did hear him being interviewed or whatever, I'll tell you, I didn't see anything wrong with anything that he said. And I know that he loved Jesus. Am I going to say he was right in everything? I can't, because I didn't hear everything that he said. But I do believe this. I believe that his heart was sincere. I believe he wanted to live for God. I believe that he wanted to please God. Is everybody here? Now, Jesus goes on in John chapter 8, and he says this, and he gets real blunt. See, people think, well, Jesus, sweet Jesus. Oh, here's sweet Jesus. He says to these Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. Well, I mean, he did not mince words, did he? And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth. Notice he was a murderer from the beginning. And so murderers are following the nature of their father, the devil. Going on with this. And does not stand in the what? The truth. There it is again. The word truth. Standing in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. In who? The devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, truth is a key word in this passage. Don't you agree? And because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, I'm going to, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you, Pharisees, religious leaders, murderers, desiring to kill him, you are not of God. Strong words from Jesus. And still apply today, don't they? He could have been speaking this to many people we hear about today, whether they're religious people. Now, Pharisees were religious people, and it applied to them. But how many of you know this idea of the rejection of truth applies to a lot more than just religious people? Amen. This is better preaching than your response. But anyway, notice he was a murderer from the beginning, and notice the other highlight. For he is a liar and the father of it. He is a liar and the father of it. And so there's a whole lot of folks out there that are not of God, that are still under the power or the sway of the wicked one, who are believing lies instead of truth. Satan is the father of lies. His greatest weapon is lies. His greatest weapon, we could say it another word for lies, is deception. His greatest weapon. He deceived that young man, that 22-year-old young man that may have his life ended because he made that decision. Pray for him. I don't want him going to hell. How about you? Is everybody okay today? And so again, Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He inspired Cain to murder his brother Abel, didn't he? And he is a liar and the father of it. So let's be resolute. I could go, this could be a series, but we're not going to make it a series. I wanted to teach on healing some more. And God willing, we will after baptism or whatever. But let's be resolute. What does resolute mean? It means to be determined. To be determined. Let's be resolute that we will stand for truth. Notice now, we will always stand for truth that, and I have several points, and we could add many, many more points. Most of this came together, by the way, about 3 or 4 o'clock this morning. Hallelujah. But in any case, notice, Jesus Christ, we're going to stand for truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For there is no other name under heaven whereby a man might be saved except by that name of Jesus Christ." Amen. And not only that, but Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it's not up on the screen, you can write it down, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he said, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. He goes on and basically says that the wide gate leads to destruction, but the narrow gate leads to eternal life. What's that mean? The wide gate. How many of you know there's a lot of people going in a whole lot of different directions? But Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by him. Amen? But yet the majority of humanity throughout history is going the broad gate, the wide gate. And they're going a different way. They're going the way of false religions. They're going the way of ideologies like communism and socialism. They're going the way of drug addiction and perversion sexually. Sex is a religion. I don't know if you realize that today. I'm talking about sexual perversion has become a religion. That's what they're devoted to. Your religion is what you are most devoted to. That's the way we're defining it today. And so we will stand for truth that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. We'll stand for truth that God loves every human being, but truth and love must go together. If you love somebody, you tell them the truth, even if they don't want to hear it. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. You see, people sometimes they hear the truth and they think that we're condemning them. And some people might come across as condemning, but the truth of the Scripture is, if you've ever read, you've read John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall be saved. He that does not believe in him will be damned, right? But then it goes on and it says that the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but to save those that are lost. And then it goes on and it says, for the world, this is paraphrased, but essentially, for the world is condemned already. Yeah. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came to deliver them from condemnation. To set people free from being condemned to an eternity in hell and the lake of fire. And so you and I are not called to condemn. Yes, we judge in the sense of discerning what's right and wrong, but we don't condemn people because they're already condemned according to the Scripture. And we want them to be free from that by serving Christ, by accepting Him as their Lord and Savior. Amen? And so God loves every human being. But truth and love have got to go together. And then along with this, when God calls what God calls sin, we will stand for truth. What God calls sin is sin, no matter what the culture says. Here's a scripture. Are you ready? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says this. This is the inspired word of God. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? I don't know about you, but I want people to inherit the kingdom of God. And you know, I think it was William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army, said something to this effect. No one should ever preach about hell without a tear in his eye. Because we don't preach it like, you know, fire and brimstone anger. We preach it with compassion and a longing and an appealing to people to come to Jesus. Because life is short and life can be snuffed out just like that. And once you're gone, there's no turning back and there's no getting to heaven once you're left this life. There's no purgatory, that's a man's idea. There's no limbo, that's all made up by man. The decision has to be made here and now in this life. He reads on, the scripture reads on, and people say, what do you think about these things? What I think doesn't matter. What does the scripture say? What does God think that God thinks that matters? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, that's sex outside of marriage, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. He says to the Corinthians, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so, you know, he tells all these things that people were in terms of sin. And God says they're sin. If they're sin in God's terms, then they are sin, no matter what the culture says. But then he says to those Corinthians and to every believer today, if you've accepted Christ, but you've been washed, but you've been sanctified. In other words, you've been set free. Now walk in that freedom in Jesus' name by the power of God. Amen? Amen? Going on with this, then we come to the next bullet. Another thing that we will stand for truth. And like I said, we could have many, many more. But another one, abortion is the killing of innocent babies. And again, I don't care what the culture says. It's a fact. It's not just a biblical fact. It's a scientific fact that life begins at conception. It's scientifically a fact. But again, people that don't want the truth reject the truth. You know, a lot of folks say, follow the science. The problem with that is they only want to follow the science they think they like instead of true science. Isn't that right? How many of you know there's a judgment day coming? For we that are believers, I shared last week a little bit, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're going to give account for the things that we did in this world. It's not that judgment is not to determine heaven or hell. That judgment is to determine rewards or lack of rewards. All of us as believers, we're going to stand before Him. It's not a matter of heaven or hell. We'll still be in heaven, but yet we'll be rewarded according to whether or not we followed God's will for our life. But how many of you know there's another judgment? It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And in Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15, it reads this way. And then I saw a great white throne, and Him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. The death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice the last sentence. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's coming in the future. Judgment day is coming. I don't know about you. I don't want anybody cast in the lake of fire. You know, God being a just God. He's a loving God, but He's also a just God. And out of His love, He must punish those who have done unrighteousness. But the Scripture says that He loved people so much that He became a man in the person of Jesus Christ. And as He became a man, flesh and blood, He bore the punishment that all of humanity deserved. Bore it for you and bore it for me, so that if we will receive that gift that He provided, we could have eternal life. But there'll be those, and have been those, that will reject it, that will reject it. And therefore, they will have to be judged on their own, punished for their own sins, rather than receive what Christ has done for them. Amen? A few more scriptures, then I'm going to end. 1 Peter 4:12 through 14. Peter now, by the Holy Spirit, says this. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached, which is a way of saying persecuted, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, He is blasphemed, but on your part, He is glorified. Notice what it says, that when we are persecuted, we can rejoice because the Spirit of God and the Spirit of glory rests upon us. In other words, He empowers us during that time and helps us during that time, comforts us during that time, gives us wisdom during that time as well. But the good news is this. One day Jesus is talking to His disciples, and He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but My Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter," which means small stone or small rock. "And on this rock," that word is the massive rock, "I will build My church." Now, that's not talking about Peter. The church is not built on Peter. Thank God. If you follow Peter, you know you don't want the church built on Peter. But the church is built on this revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon this rock of revelation, I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so no matter what the persecution, no matter what the opposition, you and I can have faith and stand strong, knowing that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, because Jesus is the builder of His church. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. I know maybe I went a little long, but I thought it was necessary because there's so many questions. And we could go on. And I know I probably haven't answered every question that people might have about things that go on, like what went on this past week. But the bottom line is there's a war. And we're a part of it whether we want to be or not. Hallelujah. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, if you would. If you're here today, I want to appeal to you that if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is the day to receive Him, because tomorrow could be too late. The Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned, you've sinned. I deserve hell. I deserve that lake of fire. And so does each and every one of us. But as I stated earlier, God loved us so much that He came and took upon Himself flesh and bore the punishment that you and I deserved so that we could be forgiven. He is our substitute, bore it for us. So the Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's a matter of receiving Him as your Lord and Savior, turning from sin and turning to Him. and giving Him your life. That doesn't mean, you know, you're totally free yet, but what it means is, God, I don't want to live that life anymore. I need a new life. You can't live this Christian life in your own power. You can only live the Christian life with His power. But the good news, He'll give it to you. Amen? Amen. So in case there is even one here today, you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you have enough guts to not care what anybody thinks, to just lift your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you come up, but we're all going to pray together. We never want to end a service without giving people the opportunity, because we don't know where everybody's at. And I'd hate to think somebody came to this church and ended up leaving, not with an opportunity to receive Christ, and ended up dying without Him. And so in case there might be one here today, we want to pray. Anyone at all? I don't see any hands, but let's pray this prayer for those that might watch later. If you agree with this, let's pray this prayer together. God in heaven, I thank You that Jesus died for my sins. I believe with all my heart that He took the penalty that I deserved so I could be forgiven. And so today, I turn from sin and I turn to You, Lord. And I believe with all my heart that You not only died, but You rose again and You're alive. So take my life and make it what You will. And from this day forward, with Your help, I will live for You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give God thanks, shall we? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope that you enjoyed this message and that you were truly blessed by it. If you would like to support the ministry of Abounding Grace Christian Church, there are three ways to give. If you'd like to give online, go to our website, agcc.church, and look for the green tab on the top that says Give Online. You can also text to give by texting the amount to 518-670-4334 or download the My Church website giving app. Find our church by searching our zip code 12303, then create an account. No gift is too small, and we really appreciate all that you give. God bless you.